Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
No one goes to work on a daily basis with the thought that they're going to get injured or killed on the job. But in reality, such things do happen. You may not even realize that your workplace is a minefield of accidents waiting to happen. Many companies around the world don't even have basic safety measures in place, such as first aid teams, equipment training, protective equipment, and emergency response basics. Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and my guest is Andrew Morris, a health, safety, and environment consultant based in Bangkok, who believes there is no reason for a workplace injury or illness, that it's just an excuse, and all losses of containment can be prevented. Last week on the show, he outlined what HSE practices he's seen or not seen around the world, and he discussed how to successfully introduce an HSE program to a company leadership. This week on the show, he outlines how an HSE program can benefit your corporate social responsibility, how to recognize safety issues on the job, how to get started with some practical tips, and he also explained what a safety matrix is.
It's a step-by-step priority for a plant to have in place, which would definitely, as I said, improve what they are doing. Depends upon the industry, depends upon what they're doing. But certainly having a hot work permit, if they do any hot work in the plant, do they understand the steps that they must take to ensure that any hot work, any welding, cutting, drilling is done safely? And in many, many cases, that's associated with such things as either working at height or turning off electrical power, isolating steam, or many, many different types of permit. So if the plant hasn't got permits in place or hasn't got all of them in place, this is where we start to help people understand that if you put somebody up in the air, can you get them down safely if something goes wrong? If you have contractors operating in your plant, does everybody who is in the plant know what the contractor is going to do? Does the contractor know how he's going to do the job safely? And has it been risk assessed before he ever takes any steps to do any work? So the matrix runs the whole gamut of permits to work, electrical safety, forklift truck safety, how to load a truck or unload a truck safely or a tanker, and how can we improve the actual way in which people deliver, even outside the plant, defensive driving, and what protective equipment do they need to wear. One of the most common injuries that we see in the workplace is knife cuts, and people use cutters and all kinds of different kinds of equipment. And clearly, there is a need to train everybody because an injury of this nature can happen in the office, it can happen in the workplace, or it can even happen in the canteen. So these are the types of things that we try to look at. We look at machine safety, workshop safety, how do you handle drums? How do you handle any kind of packaging? And how do you make these things safe? And obviously, when you handle things, you consider ergonomics, not only in the office where people are using computers, but also in the plant where they are handling 200 kilo drums. How do they do it safely? How do they do it without any stress or strain on their body, other than going home a little tireder at the end of the day? And of course, we have management of change where procedures are changed. Have we assessed the risk of that change? And finally, we also look at critical equipment. What pieces of equipment are essential to the safe environmental health and effective operation of the plant? If there are certain things that are not working in the plant, will it have a disastrous effect upon the plant's operation? And can it cause problems both in the plant and outside of the plant?
So you've been on this journey for a really long time. How has the focus of HSE evolved since you got started some decades ago?
Well, one of the things that has changed during that time is the way in which HSE professionals have evolved. And today we have induction for new employees. They have a basic understanding of what is involved in the job. Sometimes people are actually taken around the job by the HSE professional to see what they might expect before they even sign up to do the job and what to expect in the workplace, including what would you do if there was a fire or an emergency situation. So obviously the existing workforce will also have been brought up to speed by day-to-day basic training in the workplace from a trained HSE officer. 20, 30 years ago, there was either no HSE officer or the HSE's officer job was spent keeping the fire hydrants, hoses, extinguishers, reports up to date, first aid reporting, and any HSE reporting that was required to the necessary authorities. They had very, very little interface with employees, and certainly the amount of training, the amount of involvement in advising on HSE issues was not there. And today, those steps that are being taken are huge in terms of what is required of the HSE officer or manager, supervisor, his training, and what particular aspects are needed, particularly in the operation that he's involved in.
So I'm thinking that, you know, when the pendulum swings, you know, in the past, maybe we didn't have too much HSE, and then the pendulum swings and people get serious about this sort of stuff. Has the pendulum ever swung to the point where environments are just too safe and it's really hard to get work done?
I think you're right that people can be wrapped up in procedures. They can be huge and very time-consuming. And people need to look at the way in which they're implemented and are they effective in the way that they're implemented? Are they meaningful and do they add value to what's being carried out? One has to be pragmatic, but at the end of the day, HSE issues are life and death, and business continuity has to be there and being performed. But at the end of the day, also the business has to operate. And if there was no business, there wouldn't be any HSE. So you're absolutely right. It cannot be so restrictive that operations do not run and people, you know, need to be trained. But nevertheless, there needs to be a procedure that is effective, but not so restrictive that the work can't be done properly.
Right. I think a lot of companies are focused on their corporate social responsibility, and I'm assuming that the health, safety, and environment focus plays a big role in that corporate social responsibility.
It can do. It depends upon the nature of the people who are involved. In very, very good companies, HSE takes a back seat because, in fact, everybody's got the HSE message and the stakeholders and the suppliers and the customers are all working together. And very quickly, the necessary work is put into place to make sure that the CSR is credible in the community. If it's not credible in the community, quite simply, very, very quickly, the employees don't see it, the neighbors don't see it, and the company definitely gets a negative sentiment in the community because people just don't believe that it's being done and the company's image deteriorates. So I think corporate social responsibility is very much driven by management, not just HSE.
Right. I'm thinking too that basically HSE ought to become second nature, right, throughout your organization, so that it's like you said, big companies, they just know that this is the procedure, this is how it's done, and that's how it is. So ultimately, when you're on this HSC journey, what you really want is it to all become second nature to all your employees.
Yes, and you know, at the end of the day, one says, who is responsible for my HSE? The answer is, I am responsible for it, but I'm responsible for everybody else's HSE. So in that kind of environment, any employee should be looking after somebody else as well as their own safety. So that's the journey that needs to be taken.
Mm-hmm. Can you actually leave us with some practical tips for people to get started with if they're looking at this?
Certainly. We need to engage, we need to talk, and we need to challenge personnel at your place of work to tell you how they're doing, what they're doing, and, you know, make sure that they believe in the efforts that we are taking to achieve HSE. If they can, please notice improvement that is needed when you're talking to them. Reverse the question to ask personnel to comment. Do they believe that they're working safely, healthily, and within the environmental requirements? Generally, the answer is not completely. So then there are reasons to follow. You know, too busy, it's easier this way. And this gives you a forum to discuss and improve and work on all the things that can, by priority, be done to help people. So look at the lighting, looking at the lifting, the waste disposal, all issues, and have a daily conversation so that you get to hear the wake-up calls, the things that have gone wrong. Perhaps nobody got hurt this time, but if it's not corrected, then perhaps something bad will happen next time. So the things that you may be hearing is, did you hear we nearly dropped so-and-so, or he was lucky he only got splashed on his safety glasses, or she never saw that big scratch in the side of the forklift truck. You know, sometimes you look at a forklift truck and you cannot imagine the strength of impact that occurred to the truck, because there is this huge gash in the side of it, which is maybe red or green, and you imagine what else came in contact with it and the damage that it might have caused. So follow up, be diligent in making sure that actions that you take are consistent and that they are followed up and that there is a final closure of whatever type of problem you have. So that's my advice.
Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but can you maybe give us a brief story about, you know, a company that you walked into to take this HSC journey and, you know, say, here's where our starting point is, here's where they got to, or here's where they are now, and just give me an overview of how that looks?
Very much about, as I said, winning hearts and minds. And basically, I was asked to go in a plant, and I did exactly what I just talked about, where I went out with somebody knowledgeable of the operation. We spent 1 hour in the plant. We took 60 photographs, and we came back, and we did a presentation about an hour and a half later and showed all the potential for what could go wrong. And the manager of the operation bought in and asked us to put priorities on what needed to be fixed first. And just like all things that I mentioned previously, it's more about having procedures, having training, raising people's awareness, making sure that the HSE people are empowered to take steps, as indeed the employees, And we developed what we called the HSE commitment, which was a set of guidelines whereby we set out all the things that we would want to do in a workplace, not only for the employee, but for his supervisor. So equally, the supervisor is responsible for looking after the people who are working for him, but equally, the employees should be looking after him and making sure that he or she is safe. Okay. So as the journey went on, we had a signing day and we had all 500 employees, including the managing director down to the canteen staff, sign off on a HSE commitment. And from that point onwards, the journey began with safety committee, pre-safety committee walkabout and audit, and an action list of steps that people needed to take on the journey to being a better plant. And we had, in a period of 1 year, about a 50% reduction over what we perceived as the original injury rate at that site. Always difficult to assess what the injury rate is, but certainly the insurance, the workers' compensation book gives you a very good insight into what kind of things were going wrong. So that plant today has now gone 6 years without a recordable case. Long journey, but it's got there and people are very, very proud of it. They have jackets and caps that say that they've achieved it. They know that they have achieved it. People in the community know that they have achieved it. And their customers and suppliers know that they have achieved it. And very often, their customers, suppliers ring them up and ask them how they achieved it. And so they can share, they can build their experience with the people that they're involved with on a day-to-day basis.
That, like you said, right at the very start, you said this is a journey, like there's no finish line. You just have to keep going and keep going. But the results where you don't have any injuries, et cetera, that is a goal worth achieving and maintaining. So that's excellent. Andrew, thank you so much for your insights today. It's been really valuable.
Thank you for your time, Janet. Thank you.
My pleasure. Andrew Morris is an HSE consultant. He is based in Bangkok. That's our show for this week. I'm Janet Eastman, and until next time, please find more manufacturing news by following us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and you can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. Thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.